This has only just come to me, so I haven't taken all week to plan it, sorry. I'm just thinking, when Beethoven wrote his late quartets, for instance, from his agony over being profoundly deaf, and Messiaen wrote quartet for the end of time from a prisoner of war camp, I believe, and Haydn wrote Jesus' last words, seven last words on the cross, pieces like that, they were writing from a profound sense of separation in a way. And yet, art that is expressing friction, separation, agony, evokes in the listener very often a sense of unity. And it's just come to me to ask, why do you think that is? And do you think do you think that people who write from a position of separation and agony already know about unity, or do they discover that knowledge through their writing? And do we as listeners get led to a sense of unity through their agony of separation? Do you see where I mean?
Yes, yes. In order to write about your sorrow or your agony, you have to stand apart from it and view it. Otherwise, you couldn't describe it. In order to paint a tree, you have to take some distance from the tree and view it from a distance. That enables you to paint it. Exactly the same if you want to paint or describe your agony, you have to stand apart from it, stand back from it and look at it. If it was identical with yourself, it would be too close to you to describe it. So to describe it, to write a piece of music about it, to paint a picture about it, to write a poem about it, to write a novel about it, you have to separate yourself from it. So the artist separates themselves from their experience and describes it. And then the reader, the listener, who sees the painting or listens to the piece of music, or they take the same position that the artist took in relation to the agony. In other words, the artist puts the listener in the right place as the observer of this agony. So it's not what the artist paints that is important. It's where they paint from, the point of view they take. Because the artist places the viewer or the listener in the place where they stood when they were describing it or composing it or painting it. So some of Rembrandt's portraits, he paints very raw, gritty images of people, but he paints them from a place of a completely unjudgmental place. He places the viewer in the right place. Dostoevsky's novels are dark, but he places the reader in the right place in themselves. So in doing so, even if your subject matter is dark, you can still take the viewer back to their true nature.
What about if they're trying to evoke joy and like unity? Where are they putting the viewer or the listener then? And would it be as successful? I mean,
it's very often not so successful.
I was thinking it probably isn't.
I don't like watching spiritual movies.
No,
because they nearly always try too hard and fail.
Hmm.
I would rather watch a really good drama that wasn't trying to be overtly spiritual, but the producer, the director comes from this understanding, and this understanding is imbued in the movie, mm-hmm. although it's the movie doesn't have a mission to teach you something. That they are, I think, really much more spiritual movies. truly spiritual, the ones that don't try so hard.
Like with your talking about how to be with children, if you've got a mission and it's not as successful, possibly, as if you're just coming from an honest place and
Talking about Messiaen and the quartet for the end of time that he wrote in a concentration camp, I believe he said about that, he said, I wrote this music in, I'm paraphrasing, not quoting, I said, I wrote this music in the worst possible circumstances a human can be in, almost, and yet it came from a place of peace and joy in me. And if you listen, as I know you have, if you listen to that piece of music, it is hauntingly beautiful, because it came from this place of peace and joy in spite of the dire circumstances in which he composed it.
It's like that Gorecki piece where the singer, a mother singing about her son, saying he's in the camp, and she's saying, I just hand him over to you now because I can't do anything. There's something so raw about that, coming from a position of such sadness. But those people seem very, very wise to me, and I understand what you mean when you say it's the position they put the listener into.
The French writer, Albert Camus, he said, I finally realized in the depths of winter there is in me an eternal summer. That's what he was able to communicate. Even in the depths of winter, the darkest experiences, there is this eternal summer, the light of being, which shines eternally, even in the darkest places. The eternal summer, the eternal sunshine of pure being.
That reminds me of this is the hour of lead, which if outlived, like freezing persons in the snow, first chill, then stupor, then the letting go. It's that idea of being so frozen, and then suddenly you can.
Yeah. Sheena and I do this. We trade quotes with each other.
Actually, I can't remember who that was. That's that woman poet. What's her name? Emily Dickinson, that was. Anyway, that's lovely. Thank you.